Welcome to Ebenezer Baptist Church Online. We're glad you're here. Are you a first-time visitor? Do you want to know more about salvation or church membership? Use your phone to scan the corresponding code on your screen for more information. Join our church family in reading through the Bible. Scan the code on your screen to see our one-year Bible reading plan. We have several online events each week to keep you focused on the Word of God. Monday Manna includes teaching and preaching from different pastors and ministers. We have Bible studies on Tuesdays at 12 noon and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We also have an in-person Bible study on Thursdays from 6 to 7 in the Ebenezer Church Sanctuary. Thank you for your giving. You can donate to Ebenezer through the Tithely app by texting GIVE to the number on the screen or mailing donations to our secure mailbox. You can also give during our in-person services on Sundays at 8:45 and 10:45 a.m. And now, enjoy the service.
Be reading from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. All right. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Yes. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with the instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love. One day I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Oh, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Isn't it so good to know, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I thank God for Jesus. If you just love the Lord and are excited about being saved and have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you, can you just give God a hand clap praise on the chat? Put some of those emoticons, those hand praise signs, and hallelujahs. Just thanking the Lord for all that he has done. It's all because of what he has done in our lives that we're able to stand today and tell others the good news about Christ. Well, as we get back into our lesson for today, we have been in that theme of back to the basics. It has been a delight to get these topics that our young people have given to me and just ask, Pastor, could you teach on these? And so I just praise the Lord for his grace in that. Before we go any further, I want to go to our memory scripture today. We have been repeating this over and over again, reading it aloud so that it can get in our mind and seep down into our hearts. I know many of you already got it memorized, and that's great. I want you to internalize it, that it will be with you forever, and we can apply this to our lives. So let's go to James 1:26 and 1:27, and I ask you to read this aloud with me. If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If we can encompass that and walk this out, I'm telling you, we're right in the center of God's will for our lives. Well, as we get back into this topic, we've been dealing with different figures, specifically of the Old Testament. We've gone through and we talked about how their focus on God is so, so important. We dealt with people such as Noah, Jacob, Joseph. On last time, we were dealing with, remember, that was a tough one, Deborah, Barak, and Jael. And I'm telling you, today, as we go into our another figure, I'll just give you his name, Samson, I want you to be prepared. Some of the men came to me on last Sunday, and the ladies came to me, and remember, we kind of said up and trying to encourage our men to step up and do what God has called them to do. Well, today we're going to kind of slide on a different side. Deborah was an encourager, but we're going to look at this lady called Delilah. Her name in the Hebrew is broken down to mean delicate. She is a tender in a sense, but very shrewd and beautiful. And so we're going to see women in different lights. Before we get into the scriptures today, I do want to let you know this is a kind of a PG-13 message, simply because it's just in the scriptures. These are tough, and I'll be very sensitive, you know, to your young people that are around. But when I read these scriptures, these are some tough, tough scriptures. So I ask you just to pray with me today, that God's presence will be felt and sensed, and that we'll be taught and understand what God has for us. So if you go in a word of prayer with me today, please. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you are an amazing God and that you put these 66 books together that we call the Bible to show us the highs and lows of mankind and to show us why we need a Savior. Thank you for that. Now, Father, I pray if there's someone listening or viewing today that doesn't know you, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they accept that gift. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Lord, we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. In that chat, can you just say amen wherever you're standing, sitting, just say amen. Well, let's get into our focus scripture for today, Judges chapter 16. And I want us to look at around that 15th verse. Remember last Sunday, Deborah, Barak, and Jael, that was a tough message where we talked about, I will go. And so today we continue on in Judges. And Judges is a tough time, which we'll explain a little later. So Judges 16, 15. Then she said to him, that's Delilah, how can you say, I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. Listen, that's a heavy verse, Judges 16 and 15. Then Delilah said to him, how can you say, I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. I want to speak from a title today. What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? A time frame of this particular section of scripture, about 1043 to 1101 BC. This Hebrew title is actually Shafatim, and it is interpreted as meaning what the title that we understand, judges or rulers or deliverers or saviors. Last Sunday, Deborah was that judge, that prophetess that was able to speak into lies, and Barak was used as a deliverer, and Jael was used as a deliverer. And today, we're going to really focus in on Samson. This book is also known, the book of Judges, known as the Book of Failures. We see, and last Sunday I brought out, you see the highs and lows of mankind, and we're still going to be able to witness that. And I just want to interject here. I thank God for sharing his heart with us, that he just didn't show us, you know, the good people that didn't make mistakes, but he showed us what humanity looks like and why we need a savior. Here in the book of Judges, they were actually under the yoke, the bondage of the Philistines. That's the arch enemy for almost 40 years. And so these deliverers that are being raised up, such as Samson, are being used to really pull the Israelites out of bondage. Looking at Samson's life, it's an interesting time. And the angel meets Manoah and his wife and says, hey, you're going to have a child, and that child is going to take a Nazirite vow. There's a lot of things to that Nazirite vow. One of the biggest things the angel says is that he shall not cut his hair. That's going to be important. This child grows up and he shows supernatural strength. Because of his hair. So that strength is connected by God's grace through his hair. That is the symbol. But Samson has some critical flaws. He is falling in love with Philistine women. Yes, he has a proclivity for something that he should not have. The Israelites were only supposed to be interested with Israelites. So male Israelites with female Israelites, they were married into the families because they worship the same God. And Jehovah was big on that. But Samson, even though he has this godly call in his life, this Nazirite vow, he is a pull to the enemy's camps. He is pulled to the Philistines. He even gets married to a Philistine woman. A lot of stuff happens with that. It's a failure in that. He walks out. He gets upset about it. He comes back and wants her back. And the dad's like, well, I thought that you hated her, and so I gave her to someone else. Samson gets upset, and he starts burning down fields. He starts killing folks. He even takes the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men. This is Samson's highs and lows. Supernatural strength, but a temper, and making serious mistakes when it comes to women in his life. Where we pick up today is the climax of his failures. Again, he's enticed by Philistine women, and he falls in love with a prostitute, and her name is Delilah. Again, her name broken down in Hebrew means delicate. She's sensitive. She's a beautiful tool of the enemy to take Samson all the way down. Some of you remember Tina Turner. Sister Tina Turner, she sang a song, and she was in that hit movie, What's Love Got to Do With It? As I looked at the movie and I listened to her song, the lyrics were very powerful. The lyrics actually picture her shaky relationship with Ike Turner. Now, I know some of you're coming out, you say, Pastor, that's worldly, but I need you to understand, all of us struggle within our lives relationally, and without Jesus, all of us would be at the low of the low. And Tina is able to pin in her emotional state within these lyrics. Here are parts of it. She said, you must understand, the touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That's only the thrill of a boy meeting a girl. Opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than that. It may seem to you that I'm acting confused when you're close to me. If I tend to look dazed, I read it someplace, I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that fits, but whatever the reason, you do it for me. I've been taking on a new direction, but I have to say, I've been thinking about my own protection. It scares me to feel this way. And then she goes with that iconic refrain. She says, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. What's love but a sweet old-fashioned notion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? If only we could have transported Sister Tina back into Samson's time, and she could have sang that to Samson, maybe a Samson would have realized the problems that he was getting into. Let's pick up this Judges 16:6. He is deep. He is deep with Delilah at this point. And Delilah has talked to the Philistines. Yeah, she's working another deal. She's a prostitute, but she understands Samson's in love. She's working a deal with them to how to get Samson to find out what's the source of his strength. And this is the ultimate ego of Samson, that he could be in the enemy's camp, sleeping with an enemy woman, and think that he's okay, because he had been okay over and over again. His power, his authority, God was upon him even as he was going through this crazy time, which is really hard to understand. But the anointing, as far as the strength and power, was still there. The issue was his hair was intact. So Delilah and the Philistine men, they work out this plan. Delilah, we need you to seduce Samson. We need you to get him to tell you the source of his strength. Here we pick up this sixth verse. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may bound to afflict you. So I can see this. He comes over to her place of residence. Remember, she is a professional. Please understand that. Samson is head over heels in love with this Philistine woman. He should not have been there in the first place. And so now she begins to work her master plan. Judges 16:7. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried. So again, we understand, just want to give you insight if you never heard this story before. He is actually telling a lie at this point. He is not giving her what actually is the source of his strength. She does not know, but she's playing along with this, and she bound him with them. So he knows that she's trying to find out, how do I take your strength away from you? But he sees it as a kind of a play game. And I want you to know, you need to be careful when the enemy is coming at you. Look at this, Judges 16:9. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. Can you put in the chat, in the room, wherever you're standing, sitting, can you say in the room? There's tension in the text. I hope you're feeling it with me. How in the world are you going to be hanging out with this prostitute, your lady, and have men that are hidden in the room? Yes, I don't know if there was some kind of peeping Tom, that they had a secret room that was in the back, but literally within the scripture, they are in the room while this seduction is going on. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So he is falling asleep. She wraps him up in these bowstrings, and so she tests it out. She said, the Philistines are here. He wakes up and boom, he breaks out of it because he's Samson. His power, strength is there. What's glove got to do with it? So the secret of his strength was not known. Here's the first point I want you to get. The enemy is not on your side. Yes, the enemy is not on your side. The scriptures continually talk about relationships not to be unequally yoked. And you have to realize, when we get on the outside of what God has said and ordained what marriage is, it is doomed to fail. There's always going to be struggles here. And so at the onset, because of what Samson has put himself in with Delilah, even though he is in love, it is doomed. It is cursed in a sense. Look at this Hebrew text again. The Philistines, as we brought out earlier, they are in the room, but it seems to indicate by the thought pattern of the text is that they stay in the room in some closet or so and don't come out yet until they're absolutely sure that Samson has told Delilah the source of his strength. Now this is important. Theologian Woodrow Knoll, he writes this. He said, had these men rushed into the room three times after Samson's disclosure of the secret, he would surely have been suspicious of Delilah's treachery. My concern is, how close are we to the enemy in our lives? How close is the enemy trying to take us over, put us in bondage, and we don't realize how close we are to death? What's love got to do with it? Look at Judges 16:10. Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now, please tell me what you may be bound with. So she's pressing him here at this point. Okay. The bowstrings, that was a lie, Samson. And so now I can see her getting close and hugging him and doing what she does to get his mind on her, in a sense. And she says, you mocked me and told me these lies. Now, please tell me what you may be bound with. Now, this is so important because Samson, I want you to see the sliding scale, the source. And I'm going to say this so many times, the source of his strength is his hair, but he does not start off playing around with his hair. He deals with other things that are away from that source of the strength. Judges 16:11. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Notice what he's doing. Does the bowstrings. Now he says it's new ropes. Still playing this game with Delilah. Verse 12, therefore Delilah took new ropes. Now, she gets all of this. It seems that this takes place in the same time of his visit with Delilah over her place. Somehow she gets these new ropes. I guess the guys kind of slip them in the room. Samson does not realize what's going on and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like thread. Same thing. I guess he slips away again. He's just excited to be with Delilah. He feels secure. He feels comforted by her and playing this particular game. So she's able to put ropes on him and tie him up. And she says this code word again, the Philistines are here. He wakes up and all of a sudden he's ready to fight, and he just breaks those new ropes off. Here's the point. The enemy does not give up. Yes, the enemy does not give up. You got to realize in your life, it's just not going to be one encounter with the enemy. He's going to come in like a flood. And the only way that we're going to be protected, the Spirit of the Lord has to raise up a standard. But so many times we give up. So many times we fight real good on Monday, but Monday night or Tuesday we give in, or the weekend we give in. But you got to keep on fighting because the enemy will not give up. What's love got to do with it? Peter, the Apostle writes of the enemy's focus in 1 Peter 5:8. Listen to this: be sober, be vigilant. That means that we got to stand. I was in the military, and there was some times I had to be vigilant. I had 24-hour shifts and I couldn't fall asleep. I had to stay at attention, whatever it took for me to stay at focus and attentive. That's what it's saying. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is constantly looking for a weak in our army. He wants all of us have weaknesses. And if it had not been for the Lord on our side, there ought to be some amens out there thanking God for protecting us, for protecting our blind spots. Look at Judges 16:13. What has love got to do with it? Delilah, this delicate woman, professional, has said before, able to do what she's done very well, said to Samson, "Until now, you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." Notice she keeps on pressing him, keeps on pressing him. She's very methodical in this, just testing it out. My concern and attention is, Samson, don't you get that the enemy is trying to take you out? And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head," I hope you're feeling the tension here. Now he's gone from ropes and bowstrings, and he's gone to the area of his strength. We got to be careful, because I am telling you, the enemy is doing all he can do to break our men down, to break our women, our relationships, our family, our structure down. And notice he's playing with her. If you weave the 7 locks of my head into a web of the loom, verse 14, so she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." Notice he kind of goes into delirium again, and so much so she's able to weave his hair into a loom, because that's what he said. If you do this, my strength is going to be gone. And then she does this code word again: "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he woke up from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. I tell you, what's love got to do with it? Here's the next point: play with fire, you will get burned. Yes, play with fire, you will get burned. Notice he's actually at his hair at this point. This is where the strength is. He was told by at early life, you can't cut your hair. This is the Nazarite vow. This is the source of your strength. But yet he plays around. He is playing with fire. How many even saints of God play with fire? But I want you to know, God is saying, we got to step up. We've got to realize that it is getting dark, and we got to stay in the scriptures. We got to worship the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Notice he's talking about that hair, and he's allowing Delilah to get closer and closer to the truth. I can see her as she can sense that, you know what, I'm getting closer. I'm close. And that's what the enemy does. He wants to track us down. He wants to tear us apart. Notice Judges 16:15. What's love got to do with it? Then she said to him, "How can you say?" Here it is. Here it is. I hope you're with. "I love you." Go ahead. Could you put that in the chat? "I love you." Wherever you're standing, send it. "I love you." Those 3 words have gotten people in trouble. Some big trouble. She said, "How can you say I love you?" So we can see Samson is head over heels in love. I can see him coming over there saying, "You know what, Delilah, out of all the Philistines women, I love you. You're the best of the best." Delilah has him right where, remember, she's already worked this side deal out with those guys that are in the room to find out the source of his strength. He says, "I love you when your heart is not with me. You have mocked me these 3 times." Can you say 3 times? 3 times. Very important. 3 times this cycle. A first time we see the coming at him. The second time, the same. And now he's transitioned to the hair. This third time, very important. "You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies." Here's the point. Love can get you in trouble. Any amens out there? Love can get you in trouble. Samson had been forbidden. We've been saying this. It was forbidden to be in this relationship. The law said this. His family was against this. He had a failed marriage of a Philistine. The Philistines had got him into trouble over and over again. Now he's right back. Why? So many times that we have failed and we've seen how the enemy works, but yet we go right back into that same old mess. There ought to be some prayer warriors out there saying, I gotta pray. It was doomed from beginning, as said before. Delilah was worldly, a beautifully crafted, a tool, a delicate tool used by the enemy coming at Samson with all that she had. John the Apostle really gives us insight of how the enemy works. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Listen to that 17th verse. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Samson is out of the will of God. Samson is caught up in his worldly desires and pleasures. He's caught up in Delilah, and he does not see his demise. Saints, we have got to stand strong in the God. We've got to praise him. We got to stay in the word so that he can order our steps and we can have a discernment of how the enemy is coming against us. Look at Judges 16:16. What's love got to do with it? And it came to pass when she pestered him daily. Can you put in the chat pestered? I know that's a little long word, pestered. Wherever you stand, say pester. She kept on coming at him. Some of you flash back to Joseph. You remember Potiphar's wife did the same thing, pestered Joseph, but Joseph did not give in. He ran away. But here's Samson. All of a sudden, this woman is coming at him over and over. Every time he's in place, pestered him daily with her words and pressed him. So now it seems that this situation was extended. You know, there was some several visits in here. Notice, pestered him daily with this, her words, and she kept pressing him. Come on, you said you love me. You said you love me. She said you love me. She's getting pressured from the Philistines in the background. They're always in the room waiting to find out the source of his strength, so that his soul was vexed to death. Samson gets upset at this point. He's like, you are getting on my last nerve. But notice, he still misses the signs. She is pressing him. And now Samson is coming to the point, I'm just tired. Instead of leaving and going back to the Israelites, no, he stays in the enemy's camp. Judges 16:17. What's love got to do with it? That he told her all his heart. Can you put in the chat all wherever you're standing, sit and say all? He got frustrated. He got to the point that he felt like he couldn't take it anymore, and he had a lapse in judgment and told her everything. How many of us have succumbed to the pressures of the enemy? The enemy kept coming at us. We were strong, man. We were in church and we were loving the Lord. We were in Bible studies, but the enemy kept hitting us, kept bringing temptation, and we just got frustrated. We got tired of fighting and not realizing that the battle wasn't ours anyway. It was the Lord's, and we finally just gave up. May had a lapse of judgment, and we just blurted out the source of our strength. That he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. He told her everything. Here's the point. Caught up in a fatal attraction. Yes, caught up in a fatal attraction. Saints, I need you to understand. I have to deal with so many people. I deal with counsel. I talk. I try to encourage people. And I find so many are caught up in a fatal attraction. You can tell them, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't make this decision. Leave this alone. And they'll look at you and smile at you and say, I got it, Pastor. I hear you. And guess what? Within hours, they go right back into they're caught up in a fatal attraction. The enemy, he knows how to wrap us up and get into our minds. minds. And even though we can mentally assent what's wrong, we find ourselves going back to those sinful ways so often. And that's why we've got to depend on the power of the Lord. Jesus told Simon Peter before the crucifixion this, and I think all of us can identify Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Do you realize that we have an adversary, that his job is to come after us and to trip us up and to get us to sin? That's all that he does. He is working on the United States of America. He's working on abroad. He is trying to come at so that we can fail and not fulfill the will of God. What's love got to do with it? The enemy is very patient. Yes. He is very patient, and he will a little bit. I preached a sermon years ago, slow fade. All it takes is just a little bit every day coming and pestering us. And if we don't stay focused on the Lord, we'll find ourselves in a dark place. He wants to pull us apart piece by piece. What's love got to do with it? I've seen it. I've seen churches that started off strong, loving the Lord and in family relationship, just a little chink in their armor. And all of a sudden they're arguing and backbiting and gossiping, and church have split apart simply because they should have been focused on the love of God, but literally come out. What's love got to do with it? James, right in James 4:1, where do wars and fights come from amongst you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Look at that third verse. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What's love got to do with it? Saints, please understand, Samson has put him in a place of loving the world. Delilah is a symbol of the world. He has decided, I am going to sell out my calling. I'm going to sell out the vow that I took before God, all for this prostitute. A moment of pleasure. Look at Judges 16:18. What does love got to do with it? When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, look at this, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all in his heart." Remember, now this seems to be spread out over a period of time. She hits him hard at first, but she continues on bit by bit till finally he tells her everything. I know she didn't have a cell phone, but just use your imagination. Sends a text to them, says, hey, I got it now. I got it. Remember, she's going to get this payoff. The price came out to be about 5,500 worth of silver. She's going to get paid off. The pressure is going to be taken off of her. Look at this, call for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he's told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Here's the point. Please get this one. There are consequences from sleeping with the devil. Yeah, I know that's a heavy one. There are consequences of sleeping from sleeping with the devil. There are. You got to realize you just can't play with the enemy and just come out clean. It's going to bring you down. This 5,500 parts of silver that she obtains at this point for betraying Samson. I find this interesting, and I'm going to circle around this, that Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot for 30 pieces of silver. Well, at least Delilah got a good little amount of silver out of this. But Jesus was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces. Romans 6:23 talks about this thought pattern. For the wages of sin is death. Literally, when Delilah was paid off this 5,500 silver worth of silver, this was a death penalty for Samson. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to say, thank God for Jesus. What's love got to do with it? Notice, you're like, Pastor, is this over yet? No, there's some other details I want you to get. Look at Judges 16:19. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees. What's love got to do with it? Man, this is it's intense. Whatever she did at this point, she got him. She got his whole heart. She has put texts out to the Philistines. Come over, get in the closet again. This is the time. And then she got him into a deep sleep and called for the men and had him shave off the 7 locks. He is so sleep. Please get this that the man is able to come in and shave his head while he sleep. Then she began to torment him. And his strength left him. So he's asleep. She's lulled him into sleep. The man sneaks in, has a razor, whatever they had at the time, and cut off his hair. And then she, the woman that he's in love with, this delicate woman, Delilah, she begins to torment him. Here's a point. I want you to please get this one. This is probably one of my favorite ones. Please don't go to sleep. Please don't go to sleep. Saints, I believe there's an epidemic in the church that the saints are sleeping. Yeah, we don't have discernment of how the enemy is coming in and that he's been pestering and he's been lulling people to sleep. He's been lulling pastors to sleep. Deacons and leaders of the church. He's been getting people to fall asleep on his knees. And saints, we've got to realize that the enemy has stepped up his tact, that people are dying all because we're not sharing the good news that Jesus Christ is still in the saving. But we got to let our children know. We got to let our grandchildren know, our cousins, our aunties and uncles, that Jesus is still real. God's word is still powerful. We got to, what's love got to do with it? C.H. McIntosh, he observes this. He says, the lap of Delilah proved too strong for the heart of Samson. And what a thousand Philistines could not do was done by the ensnaring influence of a single woman. What's love got to do with it? We got to understand the enemy is pulling out everything he has to take down the church of God. But I am so glad there ought to be some saints that are glad to know that Christ is still in charge. Samson is an example of what can happen even to an anointed person when they let down their guard. Look at these final verses. We're going to pull it together. What's love got to do with Judges 16:20? And she said, Delilah said this, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. Be careful, saints, when we sell out ourselves. I'm telling you, there's an anointing that diminishes in our lives. And some think they can still do what they're doing. But you got to realize the only way you were able to do what you were doing, it was the hand of God. It was the grace and mercy of God. This is Samson. He thought he could just do what he wanted to do. He took God's love. He took God's grace for granted in playing with the enemy. And now God allows judgment to come upon his life. Look at this. But he did not know, here it is, that the Lord had departed from him. Can you put in the chat, the Lord left him? Yes, the Lord left him. Wherever you're standing or sitting, say, the Lord left him. But please, I know I often quote, the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. But please understand, here in the Old Testament principle, the power of God was set upon Samson because of the Nazarite vow, which was connected with his hair, that he was supposed to never cut it off. And so when he allowed himself to be in that situation where now his head is shaven, that symbol, that source is taken away. And so God, in essence, walks away. He's still God. He sees what's going, but the anointing and power is no longer there. Judges 16:21. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Can you put in the chat? Eyes, very important. And brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. Everything is changed in a moment. All because Samson has gotten caught up in this doomed love relationship. What's love got to do with it? Now his eyes are gone. Now he's in bondage. He's in the Philistines' camp prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Final point. Sin will cause eye trouble. Yes. Sin will cause eye trouble. And so many levels. This is a powerful symbol here because of Samson's sin, because of him giving in to the enemy, to Delilah. We find that his eyes have been poked out. His eyes have been put out simply because of sin. It's happening. It's happening, not just to Samson, but it's happening to those who are sitting in the pew. As said before, I believe some have had their eyes poked out. It's rampant in the pulpit. As I said, with pastors, I'm seeing so many pastors fail, and leaders and bishops and apostles. They say that they have the anointing upon their lives, but they find themselves following to sexual sins and all kinds of other things in their lives. Jesus spoke this in Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. What's love got to do with it? Well, as I stop here for today, I want you to know that God had a temporary grace to come upon Samson, and he was able to bring a victory even in his bondage. But I'm so glad where Samson failed, Israel and God, that Jesus never failed. Can you put in the chat, never failed, never failed? Wherever you're standing, sitting, can you say never failed? Jesus always trusted in his Father and understood what true love is all about. What's love got to do with it? John 3:16 said it like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What's love got to do with it? Samson was all about his pleasures and his central desires being fulfilled, but Jesus came that the captives would be set free. Can you put free in the chat? Wherever you're standing or sitting, say free. Jesus spoke this in Luke 14:4-18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind. I hope you're walking with me. What's love got to do with it? To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Samson was betrayed for 5,500 pieces of silver by Delilah. But I told you, don't forget this. Judas was betrayed. Judas betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. They didn't even put Christ's eyes out, but please understand, they put a crossbar on his back. It wasn't because Jesus couldn't have any other choices, but he submitted himself to go to the cross for you and me, because it's all about love. What's love got to do with it? On Golgotha's hill, he took nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and he hung there on the cross of Calvary. He even looked down because he loved us in spite of ourselves and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Are there any glad folks that a God would love us in spite of ourselves? You ask the thief that hung on the side of him, he'll tell you that I couldn't get off the cross. I couldn't make any amends. I had messed up worse than Samson, but I'm so glad that I asked Jesus on the cross, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. What's love got to do with it? That love caused Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave. He stayed there the first day, the second day, but the third day, remember, three times Delilah came to Samson and said, you know what? You have lied to me over and over, but I'm so glad the truth got up on the third day with all power and all glory. Now he's seated on the right hand of the Father and he's praying for us. What's love got to do with it? Everything. The agape love of Christ, the agape love of Christ covers us. He loves us in spite of ourselves. And those who've accepted him have received his Holy Spirit to empower us, to keep us, to give us discernment, to keep us from situations such as this. What does love got to do with it? Everything, because God sent his Son Jesus to die for us and now has been resurrected and seated on the right hand of the Father. And he is praying, can you put in the chat, praying for me. He's praying for us. Yes, we are the blessed of the blessed. Even though the enemy is doing all he can do to mess up our society, he's doing a great job. I want you to know, there's still a remnant that love the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul. There's still people who are submitted to God. There's still good leaders. There's still good church people. I know some of you may be viewing today because you've had some church hurt. And you're like, Pastor, I've been hurt by folks. I've been hurt by Samson's in the church. I've been hurt by Delilah's in the church. I get it. I hear you. But you got to realize there's still folks that have been transformed, that are loving the Lord. And even those folks that have messed up, I believe many of them are saved. God God has saved them. They just made some bad decisions, but I am believing God is bringing forth revival, and there is a change that's taking place on the inside, that He's making us holy. He's sanctifying us. He's setting us apart that we can realize, we can understand the enemy's doing what he's doing, but God is all power. We can say, greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. If you don't know Christ today, that's the first step. What's love got to do with it? Everything. He loves you. He said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift from him. Would you please accept that gift? That is the only way you're going to be able to stand against the enemy. Yes, yes, good teaching and training, that's great. Thank God for grandmas and mamas and uncles and dad that tried to put a sense of morality in us. But without salvation, without having Jesus, Holy Spirit, we will fail over and over again. But I thank God for the saving grace and the mercies of the Lord to the saints. Man, we got to go deeper. We got to get into the word. We got to worship. We got to pray. We got to fast. We've got to worship. And we've got to say, God, I need you to order my steps every day. And when the enemy comes at us, we got to let that enemy know. We got to plead the blood of Jesus, stand on the testimony of Christ. And he said he will never leave us or forsake us. That is such good news. What's love got to do with it? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this word. Lord, these are some tough scriptures. It shows us how low mankind can go, how sin can come in, and we could sell ourselves to something that's contrary to your will. But Lord, we ask you for your forgiveness. Maybe there's some that have made treacherous mistakes in their lives and they find themselves in a dark place. Would you let them know that you are still able to raise them up, that they can confess their sins to you and you're faithful and just to forgive them of their sins and to cleanse them of all unrighteousness? Would you help them to run to you? Lord, to the saints that are standing, I pray that they're strengthened even more, that they not let down their guard, that they watch their blind spot and they stand strong in you. To the church of God, Father, I pray a covering that we stand in these days. We stand for truth. We stand for your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing for us right now. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
To receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his